You do forget that Christ serves us that night. And good morning. It's a nice day to be with one another and to share the good news of God today, this morning. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray first. Let's ask God for guidance. And as human beings, as myself, I have so much things in my brain sometimes, and my heart is heavy sometimes, a lot of times actually, to be honest with you. There's no day that there's so much things going around us. That's why we need God's mercy and compassion. So let's bow our heads, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in one voice. Yes. We're not as many as the crowds outside, but as a group, oh God, we want to be a strong voice, maybe not loud, but strong voice, oh God, for you. We just want to lift it up, O God, so we come to the throne of grace and mercy, which is your throne. And we come in one voice, acknowledging that we need your mercy and your compassion. We are weak, we have heavy hearts, we have a lot of worries in our mind, O God. We just want to put it out there, oh God, and I know for sure that you are listening to us, because you have proven time and time and again that you have loved us and died for us, we who are unworthy of your love and mercy, oh God, and your forgiveness, to be our sacrifice and promise us eternity. You're preparing a place for us, and we look forward for it, O God. But today, O God, I also pray that we can be a one voice of thanksgiving. Not only today, O God, but let's be reminded that we have to thank you and honor you, O God, because you have so much things that you have done for us, O God. I pray that this service, no matter how few our number, it says in your word that two or three God, in your name, you are in the midst of them. We have faith in that you are with us, and the Holy Spirit is with us, because that's the truth, O God, and we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless us, O God, as we read some verses on the Bible that tells us that we have to thank you, that we have to say praises to you, O God, and be joyful and rejoicing and be prayerful and keep looking unto you, O God, the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith. Again, on behalf of my brothers and sisters in Christ, O God, I pray. And I want to honor you, and I pray that you will bless also the people that are planning to come here and join us in thanking you and praising you, God. Thank you so much. In His name I pray. Amen. First, we want to thank our young adults. Thank you for sharing your gifts to us and giving us our worship this morning. You know, sometimes it's easy to say thank you when, for example, you've been wanting to get something, like maybe preparing to, for the interview of a job, and then you had an interview, and the interviewer said, "Oh, you pass all the questions, and maybe you can report tomorrow for the job opening." It's easy to say thank you when those things happen, right? But what about when we wake up in the morning and there's no motivation for us to say thank you? That's the question, right? When we wake up in the morning, we just wake up, there's no motivation to say thank you. Do we say thank you? Nothing happened yet. You know? Nothing happened yet. We just, you know, woke up, we just, you know, come out of bed, you know, had a good sleep, maybe a good 7-8 hours of sleep. It's hard to say thank you when you're not motivated, right? When there's no such thing as answered prayer or a job well done or something, you know, happened yesterday and, you know, keep you joyful and happy and positive. You know, it's hard to say thank you when you're not motivated. It's easy to say thank you. Thank you because something happened positive. But if we read our verses today, God has been telling us, commanding us to be thankful every time. Be thankful every time. Even though we're not motivated to say thank you, God said, we have to sing joyful song, we have to be prayerful, and we have to be thankful every time. Right? Let's be honest with ourselves. Alright? It's hard. You know, it's so hard to say thank you. We only say thank you when there's some favor for us has been done. Alright? But if it's not, it's hard to say thank you. We'll say bye, I guess. I'll see you next time. But not thank you, right? We've been studying the blessed life, the Beatitudes, right? But if we go, I'll read the verses later on. But we go on chapter 5, verse 12 of Matthew 5. It says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Salt of the earth. We Christians are salt of the earth. But before we go to being salt of the earth, God teaches us those things, those beatitudes, those attitudes that He was saying for us to be salt of the earth. We go on those verses one by one. Be meek, you know, be merciful, you know, be prayerful. Those are the characters of a Christian, a believer, to be salt of the earth. If we compare it to the world, it's different from what the world is identifying. Because being poor of the spirit, the world doesn't want poor. You know, they put the poor on the side. If you are meek, you also put on the side. They want strong people. You know, strong-willed people. Strong, maybe a loud voice. Sometimes a job when there's a guy who's, you know, yelling on the side, people listen. But if you are meek, you know, you're not considered a strong person, you are there. But it's so different from the world is saying. You can be a salt of the earth, you can be a light of the earth, when you are all those things. Poor, meek, and merciful. It's so different. And then maybe a question for us today is, as a believer of God, as a believer of Christ, how can I help the church? How can I be a blessing, you know, at my place? You know, nowadays there's a lot of radical things, you know. People gather together to do radical things. Let's have a mission program. Let's have a mission statement. You know, we're going to do a wonderful thing, you know. We are great in numbers. Let's call on the group and, you know, gather together in front of the city hall and tell the government we will do this. We will, you know. But my question is, instead of doing good things, why not start with a small thing? Just be the person that God wants you to be. You know, I know my wife wanted to be a strong-willed person for her, for God. I want to be a good father to my kids. I want to be a good example for my co-workers.
I want to be a good, you know, prayerful man in our community. A lot of us, oh, that's a good thing, that's a big thing. You know, they will, you know, do a mission work. A lot of people will follow it. I'm not against it. You know, I'm not against those big, you know, radical thing that they were saying. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, just start with small things. Just be Christ-like. Just be Christ-like. In your family, you know, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, just be one. And you can have a good impact in the community. We're talking about thankful heart. And I struggled this kind of attitude a lot of times. I'm a weak person. I won't be, you know, telling you different things. I'm weak. I struggle with these things, you know. I have a hard time saying, you know, grateful things too, just like you. Just like everybody else. If we're not motivated to say thank you, it's so hard. You know, we are, you know, we have our own schedule to say thank you. We have our own standard of saying thank you sometimes, you know. And sometimes it's hard to say thank you when the person next to you is bothering you and is, you know, it's maybe really testing your faith, right? Right? I know you have someone in your life like that. Maybe it's inside your household. Maybe it's in our relationship. Maybe it's in our workplace. Maybe in our community. There's really a person that, you know, really, really trying my, you know, my temper and my patience and my inner man. It's like, you know, it's so hard to motivate the thank you word, because someone is trying to get me to be mad, to be impatient, and to lose my temper a lot of times. But you know what? If we do that, we are cultivating an idolatry. We are cultivating idolatry. Self-idolatry. Because we think we are the better person than the person next to us. What did the Bible say? We have to think of others higher than us, right? That's what the Bible said. Right? If we are motivated to say thank you and be grateful and not be critical, you know, not be critical on someone's activity, other person's activity, and we will say to ourselves, I'm better than that one. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. I can do that thing better than him. That's self-idolatry. We think of self-hiding than the other person. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says, let's think ourselves lower than our neighbors. That way, we can always say thank you. Developing that attitude. I have a quote over here. A thankful person is much less to be more to become critical, you know, if he will always think of himself lower than the other person. And it's because if we think ourselves higher than the person, better than, you know, than the other person. In fact, the Bible said, let's pray for them. Pray for those persons who persecute us. You know, pray for those persons who say bad things on us. Pray for those people that say different things than what we are. That way, we become less critical of other people's attitude and behavior.
That way we can have a grateful heart. Because if not, it's hard to say thank you. Right? If we keep thinking that we are better than the other person, we always have a critical spirit. You know? And that is true. Okay. Another example is Moses. Not Moses. Abraham. Abraham was promised to have a baby. When he was spoken by God, he was already 80 years old. He was already 80 years old. 5 years came up. No baby yet. No son yet. 10 years come up. Nothing yet. 15 years come up. Nothing yet. 20 years come up. Nothing yet. If I were Moses, I'll tell you the truth. I could have given up so easily. And maybe I would say, "Oh God, are you really talking to Abraham? Maybe another Abraham. Maybe that's the other Abraham in the other town you're talking about, right?" But after 24 years, God blessed Abraham. They were 100 years old already when they had the first son. After weighing and weighing, Abraham could have given up and said, "Oh, no more. I cannot do it. I cannot wait anymore." Especially our culture nowadays. Our culture nowadays, they want instant. The young generation want instant. They want money. Money. They want job. Job. They want something. That. I want a first down jacket. Good. North Face jacket. I want a Nike. I want Adidas. And I want it now. That's our generation. They call it the microwave generation. They want instant, right there. They can't wait. A lot of people are impatient. "Lord, I don't want to wait. Lord, it's too late. Lord, it's too late." You know what did Abraham did? Every day he waited, he became strong in the Lord. Why? Because when he was waiting, he was praising God and thanking God every day. That's what he did. The Bible said, Genesis said, he became strong in the Lord. For 24 years, my brothers and sisters, 24 years, he was waiting. I know a lot of you are praying to God. I myself is praying to God for something. And you are praying for something. And we planted a seed. God knows you. The Bible said God will supply our needs. He knows you. He knows you. He knows your needs. He knows your heart. He knows your longing. He knows what what you ask for. He knows you. Because he created you. So he wants you to be grateful. Thank you, God, because my prayer will be answered. Thank you, God. I want to praise you, God. I want to be grateful. I want to be strong to you, God. I know in your time, my prayer will be answered. It's easy for Abraham to give up, right? It's easy to turn around and say, "Oh, maybe that's my Abraham's, my name. Maybe you spoke with the wrong person." And maybe a lot of people telling Abraham, "Oh, you heard the wrong voice. It's not the voice of God. Maybe somebody else." But he waited, praising the Lord. Because if God didn't see, embracing that. Another lesson is that
there's a quotation over here. I don't want God's way, or I want God's way, but I don't. Oh no, no. I'm sorry. Let me repeat. I don't want God's way, but I want God's way, but not the way He wants it to be in my life. You know, we want a blessing, but God's way is different than what we intend. We want an easy way out, right? For example, we are in a hard relationship. We could tell ourselves, I could have accepted somebody's proposal. He has a good job, he's a good looking guy, he's a nice looking lady, you know. He's taller than the one I had, blah, 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 something like that. You want an easy way out. You know, that's how we are. We want the easy way out. But God doesn't want that. Because He loves you. He died for you. Look what He did in Calvary. He died for us, my friends. I will give you another example. The life of Job. Job was afflicted in so many things that beyond our comprehension. And the last straw of Job was his wife. But it was Job's wife said to Job, said, "You know, start praising God," he said. "Stop it now. It's too much already. It's too much already." And what Job said to his wife, Job said, "Are we only receiving blessings from God and not testing?" God has the right to give, and God has the right to take. That is God. So, that's a good story. That's a good example for us. We want God's blessing, but we don't want the way God is giving it to us. But God knows you. I had a good story yesterday when we attended the anniversary program. Stick to my heart. There's a mother there that had a testimony. And a brother out there, and some of us people had. Let me repeat you the story. There's a lady who has two kids. And boy was about to travel. I'll give you the version, but it's almost like, you know, the story. He's traveling to Atlantic City, like a friend's gathering. And one of the sisters said thank you, I mean, say visit the boy before he goes to his trip. So they talk and they say, the older sister said, "Be careful." So after that exchanges, they separate. So a young lady called her mom and said, I don't feel, I feel troubled, something like that. He had something like, you know. Then no phone calls, no nothing, the whole night. And then early in the morning, phone call was made to the mother. And the young boy who was traveling in Atlantic City was hospitalized in the emergency room. In the ICU, but along the way in the trip to Atlantic City, somebody hit him in the head and break his spine. And they had to perform an emergency surgery, take out the scar, bring it to California for something, to
to relieve the bleeding of that brain. How do you feel if you're a mother? Receive a phone call early in the morning telling you that your son is on life support in the 50-50 crisis. But they keep praying with that. You know, after a few weeks, they took back the skull from California and sewed it back. The guy said, right? Amazing story. And then, you know, he was in recovery, he was in physical therapy, he was in rehab for a couple of months. And now, he's visiting people at the hospital with the same, traumatic brain injury that he suffered. For us, the story is terrible, right? For us, the story is, it's so heartbreaking sometimes. God loves us. He wants you to know Him, that He is the Creator. He wants God for you to know Him better than what you know Him today. You know? We live in a fallen world. And God loves you. And He wants for you to say thank you. Melissa, I mean, just put the verse, Romans 8:20 here, and we will stop Melissa. Romans 8:20. I mean, this is one of the verses that I thank God every day because He put it here. Otherwise, it's so hard for us to understand who really God is in our lives. And the verse says, and we know that in all things God works for good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His will. That's one of the verses that make you, walk and follow God as much as I can. I know I fall down a lot of times. Many times I fall down. And even sometimes I told myself, quit. But when you read the verse, and you know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His will. And God put me here with a purpose. And He put you here with a purpose. I'm not teaching any prosperity gospel here, okay? He died for us. He took the penalty of death. Because He wanted to say to you that everything He does, He wants to bless your life. He wants to do something in your life. And He's saying, God works for the good of those who love Him. He wants to see you with life. He wants to see you with life. So let's continue. Let's develop a grateful heart. Because His plan, just like Gideon said, His plan is for us to be in heaven. That's His plan all along. Whatever happened, there's a lot of things going on around in this world. There's a lot of tragedy in this world. But God's plan for you is to save you and be there. Before I close, I would like you to read Romans 1, all the verses in the book of Romans, and come out verse 21 here, 121. That's the last one, promise.
For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave Him nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened.
You know, preceding those verses, you will see all the horrible sins that the world is making right now. I don't want to address that one by one, but those algorithms. If you see top from the top, those are horrific sins that the world is doing right now. But you know why? What is happening? Because this is the key.
For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. That's the root. We don't thank God enough.
Let's thank God. Because He is the author of our life. Let's thank God. Because He wants to save your soul. Let's thank God because He died for you. He wants you to understand. He's looking, He was telling you to look at the Calvary. And He's trying to tell us, look at what I did for you and preparing for you for eternity. Look at now. Let's sing the song of invitation. Anybody wants to sing?